It's over and done with, isn't it? Christmas, that is. And today is the first Sunday in the longest season of the church calendar, which we call Ordinary Time. It's not called Ordinary Time because it's ordinary. It's named that way for the system of numbers, the first, second, third, fourth Sunday after Christmas. But it seems kind of ordinary after all the excitement and preparation and anticipation of Christmas Day is done. And so the name of the season echoes the way we feel. The green trees have yellowed, the red holly berries shriveled and brown. We had a white Christmas, and now it's gray, and I'm feeling blue. Christmas is over, so let's just get on with life. And then just when you think it's all done and everything's over for the year, just when the stack of dirty diapers is piling up in the corner of the stable and the baby is crying and Mary is wondering, how in the world is she going to get back to Nazareth? Here come those wonderful wise men traipsing across deserted lands and following the glow of that peculiar star. Here come the wise men, slipping through Herod's evil clutches, defying all sense and logic, and trotting the streets of Bethlehem with treasure chests filled with strange and eerie gifts. Here come the wise men, reminding us that Christmas isn't over after all. They bring their gifts and they lay them down before the child who has now found a place in the inn, or someone's home, as the Bible tells us. They bring these gifts and they offer them to the baby and to his parents, who must have stood there wide-eyed with wonder at the contrast between those straggly shepherds in their dung-tinged duds and these royally robed strangers. They bring their gifts and they hand them over the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And when they go, leaving the gifts for Mary and Joseph to figure out, I mean, what's a baby to do with gold and frankincense and myrrh? A box of Pampers, a case of formula, and a good night's sleep would have been more welcome right about then. Strange gifts these wise men bring, and yet somehow deeply appropriate. Gold, of course, which represents wealth, the gift one would offer to a king. It sure beats the heck out of another set of diaper pins. Frankincense, the special incense used in worship, which is a gift one would bring to a priest. Isn't a priest one who opens the way to God, and isn't the Christ child the very one who came to the world to do that for all of us? And myrrh, the creepiest of all the keepsakes the wise men brought. Myrrh, the gift of death, a substance used, among other things, to embalm the bodies of the dead. A shiver runs up and down Mary's spine as she sees myrrh placed before her newborn son. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, strange gifts to bring a baby. And yet gifts they are, no stranger than the gifts we offer the Christ child. What are the gifts that we have brought to the newborn king? Miles and miles of electrical lights in place of one single star. Plastic soldiers who stand guard in soggy stable scenes on front lawns. Battles and brawls and infinite hours spent in search of the hottest toy of the year, but no time left to say prayers with our children. A bit of frankincense looks pretty good right about now. And even the myrrh stands a better chance of being received with gratitude. Because it's not over, not really. We have received the gift. We have been given this child. And now it's our turn to give, to lay our gifts before the baby born in Bethlehem. We bring our gold, our money and resources, Oh, no, you're thinking. The New Year's barely begun and already she's up there hounding us about money. Why can't you just save that for the stewardship drive? But what about our money? What about putting the church on that list of worthy causes? This past year has been an economic nightmare for many people, and the new year is most likely going to be as well. We're facing a year of challenge personally, many of us, and our congregation as well, as we pay the mortgage and the heating bill, as we try to choose the very best ways that we can serve the needs of our members and of the community, and as we continue to become the church God has called us to be. It takes money to do all this. Maybe not gold, although that's always welcome, but nickels and dimes and quarters and dollar bills. And instead of thinking of our giving as a drudgery, why not as a wonderful opportunity to be part of something that can truly make a difference in people's lives? Let's give with joy and excitement and gratitude that we have been chosen to be part of this body of Christ. We bring our frankincense. Well, not like you might find in many churches. But frankincense represents the gift of worship. Worship on Sunday morning at least, but every day in some way or form. A prayer with your children, a Bible verse to start and end your day, time given just to say thanks to God, or to ask for help, or to return praise. Worship, it's putting Christ first in your life. What a great gift to give to the kids. It'll last a lot longer than many of the gifts they'll ever receive. And we bring our myrrh, the gift of our death. Not in a morbid or depressing way, but we open ourselves to the death of those things that keep us from loving Christ and one another. The death of our bitterness, greed, or guilt. This is perhaps the very most difficult gift to give and to receive, to forgive and to be forgiven, to heal and to be healed. You risk your life when you give the gift of myrrh, but isn't that the point? Today we present to Christ those people being ordained and installed as officers of this church for the coming year. We dedicate the gifts of these people, but in doing so, we ask Christ to bless all of our gifts. Even though these people are being recognized today for the special service of leadership and outreach and caregiving, this is a time to remember that each of us has a gift to lay before the Christ child, a gift to be blessed by the one who receives it. What are the gifts we bring? Our gold, our frankincense, our myrrh, our wealth, our worship, our life, and our death. We each have a gift to bring to Christ. To claim that you don't is to claim that God has made you less than human. And I don't buy that for a minute. So just when we finished packing up the boxes, taking down the trees, putting away the paper, yes, just when we think Christmas is over, here come those wise men, reminding us that it's really just begun. There's a star out there in the darkness somewhere, showing us the way. If we follow it, we might just find that the place where it shines the brightest is deep within our own hearts. Join me in prayer. Lord, you have given us the greatest gift of all in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world as an infant, who grew and lived the life we live, who gave his life for us all, who rose again to bring us that new life and the hope of resurrection and eternity. You ask so little in return. Our resources, our time, our own lives. The greatest thing that we can give you is that. So help us, Lord, to take the gifts you have blessed us with, the offerings that we have of our pockets and our spirits. Bless us, O Lord, as you have done, and allow us the privilege of being a blessing for you. For these things we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And let all God's people say, Amen.